My name is Ozzy Knezovich. I've been the sheriff of Spokane County for almost 12 and a half years now. And the usual question is, why am I running again? It really comes down to people. Doing this job is very much about the public. Several years ago, when I came to work here, I was asked a question about why I wanted to be a police officer. The reason I wanted to be a police officer is because I like to help people. I like to help my community. I was told, you know, it's kind of a canned answer. And I went, look, the day I stop believing that is the day I will take my badge off. So it's about the people. There are still things I would like to accomplish for the community. And one of those is to make sure that our training unit is nationally accredited. We've won national awards with our training unit. And the next step would be national accreditation. Our emergency management area, we're working on national accreditation there. And our forensics unit, we're working on national accreditation there. We should be finished with that hopefully this fall. And to build a regional law enforcement training center, because right now the United States Air Force would like to team with us to do that.
And what do you need to accomplish some of these things here?
You know, the first three, that's really internal. That's us. That's making sure that we have the right policies, procedures, make sure that we're doing the best practices. We've getting all that in line. We're almost there on in many respects on this. It's just a matter of time. There is some expense to that, so the Board of County Commissioners I'll be asking them to help out with the expense piece. But other than that, the first three are really in the works right now, and by 2019, probably fall of 2019, we should be able to accomplish every one of those.
So where are you funding-wise? Last year, you were the county commissioners were talking about an $8.5 or $9 million deficit, and you were talking about, you know, if you cut our budget anymore, we're really going to be in serious shape. How did that end up?
That ended up with the community stepping forward and telling the Board of County Commissioners that public safety is the number one issue. We didn't receive any cuts. But traditionally, since 2012, we've been underfunded $1.6 million. The entire time I've been sheriff, there's only been 1 year that my budget wasn't cut. And I would love to see what it would be like to have a complete budget just once during the time I've been sheriff.
And so you said $1.6 million. How much more do you think you need to be fully funded?
Well, if you remember, between 2008 and 2010, we lost 32 deputy positions. Those positions never came back. The population of this county continues to grow. We're now over 500,000. In order to get back to where we were in 2008, just to get back to where we were in 2008, almost a decade ago, we would have to have right around $4.5 million.
Okay. And where would you put, if you had $4 million, how would you deploy that money?
We have a lot of capital needs. We are currently buying used cars for the deputies, and that's not necessarily a good thing, but we also have deputies are driving cars that are 200,000 miles in age, if you will. That's way against industry standards. It's a safety issue. So it'd be some of the capital issues that I would use to fix, and then I'd bring back with that 4.5, I could fix some capital issues, and I could bring back about 25 deputies. Bring back those 25 deputies, I would strengthen our street crimes unit. I'd actually build a street crimes unit in the unincorporated area, and that would make us much more effective because every time that we've done an emphasis, we have driven crime down. That's one of the things I think I'm probably the most proud of over the last 6 years. Actually, now it would be 6 years in 2012. We have consistently dropped the property crime rate in the unincorporated county and for the last 5 years in the city of Spokane Valley. The property crimes rate in either the unincorporated or the city of Spokane Valley has never, ever risen above what it was in 2004. And we use 2004 as a baseline. because that's the last year that Crime Check was in effect, and it was the first year that the Valley and the county had separate crime stats. In 2008, when we brought Crime Check back, crime came up, and that's exactly what we expected, because when Crime Check went away, crime dropped significantly. Crime Check came back in 2008. At 2012, it hit its peak. We drove that crime rate back down, and we've never seen those 2004 numbers again.
So I don't understand. By bringing back Crime Check, you're saying that people were reporting more crimes.
Yes, and that's one thing that I don't think a lot of people understand. Spokane is a unique community. There are very, very few communities in the United States that have a Crime Check. And Crime Check gives you the ability to report all crime, large, small, and we encourage people. As a matter of fact, we put billboards up saying, please report your crime. Now, some people say, well, you can't get to it all. You're right. We can't. But if you report that crime data goes into our intelligence unit. That intelligence unit tells us you have a problem in this area. We then allocate our resources to that problem area, and we arrest the people who are causing problems. We clean that area up. So Crime Check is a vital tool for law enforcement in this area, and our community is one of the very, very few that has that asset. So when people go, well, look at Spokane's crime rate, it's, you know, property crimes rate, it's way high. Well, yeah, it is, because you get a chance to report all your crime. Other jurisdictions don't.
So we've been talking a little bit about sort of the kind of shape that things are in. I'm thinking about the jail in terms of physical infrastructure. What's your long-term plan for the jail?
You know, I don't run the jail anymore. The Board of County Commissioner runs the jail. However, that's no excuse. I'm an elected official in this area. That jail needs to be resolved. I told the Board of County Commissioners way back in 2008, 2009, that the Spokane County Jail was severely overcrowded and it was a dangerous facility. We've had 6 inmate deaths in roughly 13 months. Folks, that's unacceptable. And this community needs to realize that that jail works against the system. That jail is antiquated. Geiger Corrections was never intended to be a holding facility. And we need to do something in order to get a better handle on how to deal with the situations that are going on in the jail and make the jail a safer place. This is about safety anymore, both for the inmate and correction staff. And the other aspect is you can't just build a bigger jail. You have to build the linchpin component. That linchpin component is a community correction or community resource, whatever you want to call it, center. That's where the programming happens. If we can get people off drugs, if we can get people to break that cycle of crime, you don't have to build bigger and bigger jails. You can actually turn people's lives around. However, in order for that to work, you have to have one key component. And this is one of the part that most people don't understand about Smart Justice. Smart Justice was brought to this community by Mark Richards and I in 2007 when we went on a tour of a jail in Florida. In order for Smart Justice to work, the key component is an empty jail bed. Because if I give you that opportunity to change your life and you choose to continue your criminal ways, then one thing has to happen. You have to have quick and certain accountability. The minute you break your programming, you're going to jail. And in order for that to happen, you have to have an empty jail bed.
So where do you get started? What's the next step in terms of doing that? Is it a lot more money? Is it how would you proceed next?
It's finally convincing the elected officials of this area that they're running an unsafe facility. The National Corrections Institute came in about 3 years ago, did a study of the jail. Their number one recommendation: you need a better facility. That was number one. My the way I plan on approaching this, since I'm part of the criminal justice, Spokane Criminal Justice Council, is to finally try to convince one more time the electeds of this area that we have a massive problem. You have people dying inside that facility. It's time to fix this. And I want to bring it out to the public. It's really up to every person listening to this radio station right now. If you want less crime in this area, if you want a less liability for that jail, because that liability rests on all of us in this community, it's time to speak out and tell your elected officials, build a better facility and fix this criminal justice system. That is what I will be telling the Board of County Commissioners and the Mayor of Spokane, because that is a major component, the Mayor of Spokane, that it is time to quit looking at this problem and debating it and admiring it, and it's time to fix it.
So why has it been so hard to convince them of that?
Everybody's afraid of one word, and you mentioned it just slightly.
What's that?
Taxes.
Taxes.
Everybody's afraid to mention this is going to be expensive. To fix this facility and to fix this system, it is expensive. And every politician in this area, I don't care if it's Democrat or Republican, they're afraid of one word. Because if they know, if they utter that word, they're afraid they will not be either elected or reelected. And the worst part about this is every elected official that I seem to run into anymore only worries about one thing, their four-year election cycle. And, you know, if we do that, you know, we won't get reelected. My philosophy and what I tell them also is, if you don't do your job, you're not going to get reelected. If you do your job and you explain to people why you need to do certain things, they usually get it and they'll support it. And more importantly, if you're doing a good job, they'll reelect you. So instead of worrying about keeping the job, how about worrying about doing the job?
So you have a challenge from a man who's changed his name to dumpozzy.com. He's accused you of mismanagement of certain the incident in which the deputy hit a man trying to cross a street, among other things. So I'll just ask you if you want a chance to respond to some of his accusations.
You know, that individual, quite frankly, has a criminal history that amazes me that he thinks he should be able to hold, one, the office of sheriff, two, that he has a remote capability of holding law enforcement accountable when he can't hold himself accountable. The cases that he's talking about, let's talk about the Creech case. I went through 9 separate reviews. The last review, I dropped it on the desk of the U.S. Attorney's Office and said, it's now yours. You look at it. All 9 of those reviews came back with the same thing. Deputy did what the deputy had to do. You know, folks, at the end of the day, what happened in that case is somebody pulled a gun on a deputy and the deputy had to use lethal force. The Ryan Hollick incident.
This is the man who – this is the deputy who drove the car and,
right.
And hit the – yes.
Deputy was responding to a deputy who was out with 3 individuals, one with a warrant, and wasn't responding to his radio. It's a fairly serious situation. He came to an intersection. He had the green light. The deputy had the green light. That young man crossed into the intersection against a red light. There were 2 cars in the roadway that day, and everybody seems to forget that one little piece of information. 2 cars in the roadway. He got halfway out in the roadway, laid his bike down in order to avoid the first car in the roadway. From there, experts agree and disagree on certain points. The end result is that young man ended up dying out of that incident. The deputy may have hit him with the vehicle after the young man laid the car down. He turned back and started heading back towards the sidewalk under one scenario where the deputy had attempted to avoid him but still made contact with his head. That went through multiple reviews. I actually hired the expert that found the evidence that the bumper may have hit the individual's head. And we are the ones that found every ounce of evidence in that case, and we are the ones that brought it all out. So after all those reviews, multiple reviews, it was consistent. The deputy didn't do anything wrong in that instant. Folks, that was every driver out there's worst nightmare. I want you to think about that. It's late at night, and you're coming into an intersection, and suddenly somebody sprints out in the middle of that intersection against the red light. You have the green light. That is every driver's worst nightmare, and then you hit them. That is everybody's worst nightmare. So Mr. McClay has never been able to prove any of the things that he's alleged. I have changed the way, quite frankly, this area investigates officer-involved deaths. In 2007, Anker Pakradic and I met, and we said, you know, it's really not good for the home agency to do these investigations on their own people. We created what we call the SIR team. It's a regional group of investigators that if something happens involving a sheriff's office employee, the city of Spokane and the state of Washington, WSP, investigate that incident. If something happens in the city of Spokane, it's the sheriff's office and WSP that are leads in that investigation. We're expanding that to the entire region and starting to train all our regional partners so they can start helping and handling that. So it's not the sheriff's office that investigates our own instances. It's a regional team that actually does that. And the prosecutor, everybody forgets that there's a prosecutor that looks at all these cases. The prosecutor looks at them and moves forward. One of the things my opponent likes to claim is, well, I cover things up and buy, you know, all that. The expert that I brought in on the Hollick case, he looked at me one day and said, you know, if you cover things up, you do a horrible job of it because you're in front of the cameras every time something happens, because his first review verified all the other reviews. His second review is where he found a hat imprint on the button, on the bumper. He came to me and said, well, look what I found. What do you think? I went, well, what I think is you verify your evidence and prepare for a press conference because we're going public very quickly on this issue. He also says that we cover for our people. I've terminated 68 people in the 12 and a half years I've been sheriff. 68, because they didn't do their jobs right. They didn't wear that badge with honor. Do you really think I'm going to cover up anything or protect anybody if I've already fired 68 people? If any of those instances that he talks about, our employee had been wrong, they would have been dealt with both through the criminal justice system and employee law.
I think one of his points is that none of them have been criminally prosecuted.
Well, that takes a prosecutor willing to file those charges and everything else. And you have to have probable cause to file those charges. There's this little thing called probable cause. You have to be able to prosecute somebody. One of the people that I fired was an individual that made an inmate that was suicidal and mentally ill strip naked and do 10 jumping jacks as a joke. Extreme civil rights violations. Once I was done with the investigation of that, I took that investigation to the U.S. Attorney's Office, put it on their desk and said, it's yours. I came back and they said, well, Sheriff, we're not going to prosecute that. Had you not handled it the way you did, we'd have been all over you. Now, did you catch that?
Mm.
They'd have been all over me. But they didn't prosecute the individual that violated this compromised individual's civil rights. I wanted him prosecuted because that was horrendous. So it didn't happen. It's not that nobody's been convicted. One, you have to have probable cause for it to happen. Two, you have to have a prosecutor willing to file those charges. In that case, the U.S. attorney was unwilling to file the charges because I had terminated that individual and they felt that that was enough.
Okay, just one more and then I'll move on with one last question. Another question that Mr. McClay asks is Deputy Bodman, who is the person whose car hit Brian Hollick, is he still working for the department?
Deputy Bodman never quite recovered from that incident. And he retired about a year ago.
Okay. So you're going for a fourth full term. Why? I mean, when you've got – you don't have term limits, and yet you've got elected officials who rarely get past one or two. Why do you think you've gotten through three terms and are running for a fourth?
Well, I think it – boils down to one thing. I've been blessed with the support of not just Republicans, because this is a partisan position, and folks, every sheriff in the state of Washington thinks that this should be a nonpartisan position. We're law enforcement. It doesn't matter to us what party you are. But that aside, I enjoy overarching support across every demographic. And the reason I think I have that overarching support across every demographic is because people know that I hold my people accountable. People know that we have developed one of the best law enforcement agencies in this region. Our training unit is known internationally. We have people that come from all over the world to train here. We received a major award last year because we are the only law enforcement agency in the United States, the entire nation, that takes our training and has it certified at an international level. Nobody else does that. We've developed training that no other agency in the nation has concerning bias policing, how to recognize your own bias, how to calm people down, how to talk to people, and how to make sure that situations are taken care of without having to use violence. I think that those are the reasons. People see that I deal with situations. I hold my employees accountable, and they live in a safe community. I have heard that time and time again throughout this election cycle and, quite frankly, almost every election cycle. I'm glad I live in the county because I feel safe.
Did I miss anything, Sheriff? Anything you wanted to talk about that I didn't ask about?
You know, the only thing I would add is please vote. It is the most important thing that you do as a citizen. If you're tired of the way things are trending in our nation, then quit allowing the extremes to control that message. Right now, it's the extremes on both the right and the left that control that message. You control that message. You get out and you vote. You can change the entire dynamic here, folks. I appreciate the fact that you've supported me for 12 and a half years. I appreciate the confidence you have given my agency. But I will tell you, at the end of the day, I have great people that do a great job that make me look really good. And I thank you for your confidence, and I thank you for your vote.